All right, Rabbi Say, good morning. So today's daf is Lamed Ches 38. We are picking up Lamed Zayin on the base 37b. Four lines up from the bottom, last word on the line. So say we dedicate our learning this morning as a zechus for Refuah Shleima for Kobi Rosemore, Chaim Yaakov David Ben Avigail, who's having surgery this morning. We hope that in the merit of our Talmud Torah, the surgery will be successful and have a complete and enduring refuah.
Amen.
So let's begin. Last word on the line, four lines off the bottom. Bishlam on the man, the Ramoshav, Komakom Shatam Yoshim Mashma. So let's say, remember again, in yesterday's daf, we had a discussion about the word Moshvo Sechem. That when we see the word Moshav, what does that mean? So remember again, the interesting part over here is that the word Moshav seems to indicate that Lamaisa, the particular mitzvah, only applies in Eretz Yisrael. Yet we saw examples of that, for example, by Tfilin, by Peter Hamar, where although the Torah uses the Lashon of Biyar, Moshav, that ultimately, again, the mitzvah applies outside of Eretz Yisrael as well. So says the Gemara, Bishram Olaman Damar Moshav, Komakum Shatem Yoshvim Mashma. So according to the opinion who holds that Moshav doesn't mean Eretz Yisrael, but rather Moshav means that the mitzvah applies anywhere in which you live, anywhere in which you find yourself. Hainu Dichsiv, this is the meaning of the Pasuk, Vayochlu Me'avara Aretz Bimacharas HaPesach. So the Pasuk says over here that they ate the Chadash, they ate the new wheat after they crossed over the Jordan River on the day after Pesach. They ate from the new crop on the day after Pesach. We'll say day after Pesach in this context means the day after the first day of Pesach, in other words, the second day of Pesach. So, Mimacharasa Pesach Achol, Meikara Lo Achol. So they ate it on the second day of Pesach, but they did not eat it beforehand. Look at Rashi for just a moment. Rashi says, Bishlam Laman Damar, Umoshav Dechsiv Gabi Chadash, Lav Yerusha V'Yeshiva Asahayim. So we'll say, remember again, the Gemara is reflecting the opinion over here. We're going back to Chadash. So remember again, we started speaking about Chadash yesterday. The prohibition to go ahead and eat wheat that took root after last Pesach before you offer the Karban Omer of this year. So for example, just for illustration purposes, if wheat took root after Pesach 5775, you would not be permitted to consume that wheat until after you offer the Karban HaOmer on 5776. So says the Gemara, according to the opinion who holds that Moshav means anywhere you live, if that's the case, then the mitzvah of Chadash did not have to wait until we conquered and divided up Eretz Yisrael, but rather, again, would what? Would kick in immediately upon entering the land. Then it makes sense that when Klal Yisrael entered the land, Rabbi will say, what was triggered immediately? The obligation to observe the laws of Chadash. Alma, Tap of Lamed Chesam Dalef, Alma, Akarav Omer, Vahad Akrav Omer, Vahadar Achol. Therefore, again, Rabbi will say, Moshav just means wherever you live. Therefore, the mitzvah of Chadash is triggered. Now remember, the mitzvah of Chadash is only triggered once we enter into the land, but once we enter into the land, the mitzvah applies everywhere. Therefore, once you go ahead and you offer up the Karban Omer, then you can eat Chadash. El Mandamar La'ach Yerusha V'Yeshiva. But according to Mandamar, it says that the mitzvah of Chadash only applies after you inherit and settle the land, which Rabbi said would have been 14 years later on, 7 years for conquering, 7 years for dividing it up, Nechol Alter. Then Rabbi said, if that's the case, then the mitzvah of Chadash doesn't apply until after they conquer and divide up the land. And if that's the case, what? Then they should be able to eat the new grain when? Immediately upon entering the land, because the mitzvah of Chadash doesn't yet apply. To which the Gemara says, you're right, but Lo Havetzrichi. In fact, they actually did not need the new wheat. In other words, the Gemara says they already had supplies. So why? What does that mean they already had supplies? Dichsiv, Ubnei Yisrael Achles Haman Arbaim Shana Ad Bo'am El Eretz Noshaves. Es Haman Achlu Ad Bo'am El Kitzei Eretz Kinan. Because we'll say the Pasuk says that Klal Yisrael ate man for 40 years Ad Bo'am El Eretz Noshaves. And we'll say Eretz Noshaves, Rashi says over here, Eretz Noshavis means me'ever liyard hayardin ve'elech shehi chashuva me'eretz sichon vo ki da'achlechan me'osha shayimus avali karnitz avakar letovah. So let's listen to this. So on one hand, the Pasuk says, it's actually very interesting, that Klal Yisrael ate the man for 40 years until they came into Eretz Noshavis. Eretz Noshavis means settled land. Settled land means Eretz Yisrael proper. Now we're going to see that there are two parts of Eretz Yisrael. There's Eretz Yisrael proper, and there's what's called the outskirts of Eretz Yisrael. The outskirts of Eretz Yisrael are the Transjordanian lands. The lands of what we call Sichon and Og, which were the lands ultimately, again, that become the tribal area of the two and a half tribes of Reuven, Gad, and half of Shevet Menashe. So the Pasuk seems to contradict itself. On one hand, the Pasuk says that Klal Yisrael ate man for 40 years until they came into the settled land, which means Eretz Yisrael proper, and they ate the man until they came to the outskirts of Eretz Canaan. So says the Gemara, E'af Shalomar ad bo'amal Eretz no Shaves. So on one hand, you can't say they ate them until they came to the settled land. Why? Shekvar ne'emar el kitzei Eretz Kinan. Because the Pasuk says they only ate them until when? Until they came to the outskirts of the land. V'ef shalomar el kitzei Eretz Kinan. And you can't say they only ate them until they got to the outskirts of Eretz Yisrael, which again also means the Transjordanian lands. Arvos Moav, the lands of Sichon and Og. Shekvar ne'emar ad bo'am el Eretz no Shaves. Because the Pasuk says that they ate man until when? Until they came into the settled part of Eretz Yisrael. So we'll say, so understand the inherent contradiction. So when did they eat man until? Did they eat man until they reached the outskirts of Eretz Yisrael, the Transjordanian lands? Or did they eat man until they got to Eretz Yisrael proper? So which one is it? HaKetzot says, I'll tell you. B'shiva ba'adar meis Moshe u'pasak man milered. On the 7th of Adar, Moshe Rabbeinu died. And when Moshe Rabbeinu died, so the man stopped falling. And an incredible miracle occurred. That what happened? Literally, they had man left over in their utensils. I'm also understand the incredible chiddush of that. What's the chiddush of that? Normally, again, man expired at the end of the day, right? It just dissolved. So an incredible miracle happened. That when Moshe Rabbeinu died on the 7th of Adar, the man stopped falling. But yet the people still had leftover man in their utensils, and that man lasted them at Shisha Asar B'Nisan. So we'll say that's amazing. That man lasted them for pretty much like a month and a week, 5 weeks. So from the 7th of Adar all the way until the 16th of Nisan, which is the second day of Pesach. So the Gemara says, Tanya Idok, another Braisa. So what that means is the following. So therefore, you understand the reconciliation. The reconciliation is that Moshe dies when? When the people reach Arvos Moav. Moshe Rabbeinu, here's the interesting piece. Moshe Rabbeinu wanted to go into Eretz Yisrael. And the amazing part is, Moshe Rabbeinu did enter Eretz Yisrael. Right? He entered, meaning it wasn't Eretz Yisrael when he was there, but he stood on land that one day would become Eretz Yisrael. He stood in the Transjordanian lands. Moshe Rabbeinu got right up to the Jordan River, right up to the Yarden, and those lands, again, would later on become the tribal areas of Reuven, Gad, and half of Menashe. So amazingly enough, Moshe Rabbeinu's tefillos were answered. What Moshe Rabbeinu really wanted was to be able to go into Eretz Yisrael proper, what we call Eretz No Shabbos. He wanted to cross the Jordan, he wanted to cross the Yarden. So what the Gemara says is like this. When the Pasuk says they ate man until they reached the outskirts of Eretz Yisrael, the Transjordanian area, Arvos Moav, what does that mean? It means Moshe Rabbeinu died in Arvos Moav, 7th of Adar, and the man stopped falling. That's what it means, they ate man until they reached the outskirts. But what does it mean when it says that they ate man until they got to the inhabited part of Eretz Yisrael? So what's the answer to that? It says because the man they had in their baskets from the day that Moshe Rabbeinu died lasted them until when? Lasted them until the 16th of Nisan, when they had already arrived into Eretz Yisrael proper. That's the reconciliation of the Pesukim. Quite beautiful. Tanya Idach, another Braisa. Ubnei Yisrael achlas haman arbaim shana. Klal Yisrael ate man for 40 years. Says Zimar, is that true? Arbaim, v'chi arbaim shana achlu. They eat man for 40 years. V'halo arbaim shana chaser shloshim yom achlu. They really, about say, in reality, they ate man for 40 years less 1 month. Less 1 month. Rashi says over here why. Also, it's amazing. In Yana Diyoma, Chasr Shloshim, it's the first short line in Rashi. Shenistapku me'ugot shotziyim Mitzrayim d'chsiv vayusum me'ilim vayavo'u kaladas b'nei Yisrael midbar sin. So we'll say, so remember, they subsisted for 30 days on the matzah they brought out from Mitzrayim. So they didn't really eat man for 40 years. They had man for 40 years less a month. Because again, the first month we were in the Midbar, we had the matzah we brought from Mitzrayim. Elalomer lecha, rather what it says is, Ugos shotzim Mitzrayim tamu bahen tamman. It will say, miracle happened, that what occurred? That the matzah we brought out of Mitzrayim had the tam of man. It tasted like man. I will say this, you could definitely use this for your Seder. This is something, I have to think about this a little bit more, but there's something very beautiful over here. That the matzahs we took out of Mitzrayim, again, didn't just taste like matzah, but rather, again, they had the tam man. Which also, of course, at the most basic level tells you, you know, you'll think to yourself, matzah tastes like a lot of things, but not like man, right? But the idea is that's freedom, right? Freedom is sweet, freedom is delicious, it doesn't matter what the actual taste is, but the ability to be a ben chor and the ability to be a ben Torah, that's man. That's man. So in any event, that's what it means when it says that they ate man for 40 years. It means they had actual man for 40 years less a month. But for that month that they were eating the ugos matzahs, that they were eating the matzah they brought out of Mitzrayim, that matzah also had the taste of man. Quite beautiful. Tanya idach, another braisa, b'shiva ba'adr meis Moshe, or b'shiva ba'adr nolad. So Moshe Rabbeinu died on the 7th of Adar, and he was born on the 7th of Adar. So it says the Gemara, minayin she b'shiva ba'adr meis. How do we know that Moshe Rabbeinu died on the 7th of Adar? Shne'emar, Vayomas Sham Moshe Eved Hashem. Because the Pasuk says, and Moshe, the Eved Hashem, died there. Uksiv, and the Pasuk says, Vayivku kol b'nei Yisrael es Moshe ba'arvos mov shloshim yom. And the Pasuk says, Klal Yisrael cried for Moshe arvos mov for 30 days. Uksiv, they're supposed to just follow this timeline. Uksiv, Vayacharis Moshe Eved Hashem. And then it says, it was after Moshe Rabbeinu, the Eved of Hashem, the servant of God, died. Uksiv, Moshe Avdi Meis, and then the Pasuk says, Moshe, my servant, died. This is in Yoshua. V'ata kum avar. And you, Yoshua, get up and lead the people across the Jordan. Uksiv, and the Pasuk says, Avru b'keraf ha-machane, v'tzavu es ha'am le'mor, hechinu lachem tzeda. And furthermore, the Pasuk says in Yoshua, go throughout the midst of the camp and command the camp to say, prepare for yourselves provisions for the way, because in another 3 days we're entering the land. Ta'avru es ha-yarden. In 3 days we will be crossing the Jordan. Okay, just follow us another minute. V'ksiv, the Pasuk says, v'ha'am alu min ha-yarden, Ba'asor l'chodesh harishon. So we'll say, after all those psukim, the Navi finally gives us a date. What's the date? That the people passed through the Jordan on the 10th of Nisan. On the 10th of Nisan. So 10th of Nisan is when Klal Yisrael finally passed through the Jordan. So we'll say, now let's work backwards. If we know ultimately again that Klal Yisrael passed through the Jordan on the 10th of Nisan, Tzei Mehem Shloshim V'Shaloshim L'mafreya. So we'll say, we know that based on the psukim that we just quoted above, that there are 33 days between the time that Moshe Rabbeinu dies and Klal Yisrael goes ahead and crosses the Jordan. I will say, very simply put, how do we know that there are 33 days between the day that Moshe Rabbeinu died and Klal Yisrael crossed the Jordan? Very simple. Because the Torah says, that Navial says, that Klal Yisrael mourned Moshe Rabbeinu for 30 days. Then the Pasuk says that Yoshua goes through the camp and tells the people, in another 3 days, we're crossing over the Jordan. Which means that there are 33 days between the death of Moshe Rabbeinu and the crossing of the Yarden. If the crossing of the Yarden takes place on the 10th of Nisan, then what? Then Lemaisa, again, go back 33 days. Halamarata Shebeshiva Ba'adr Meis Moshe. So we'll say go back 33 days, and that tells us that Moshe Rabbeinu died on the 7th of Adar. So amazing. So actually, very interesting, because again, it's quite an explicit limud. We know exactly the time frame between the death of Moshe Rabbeinu and the crossing over of the Yarden.
Uminai. There was no fixed calendar.
I'm sorry?
There was no fixed calendar. So how do we know it was 33 days and not 33?
That was the Masorah Chazal had. Yep. Yeah, of course, all of this is based on the Masorah. Meaning, the one date we know is the Asara bin Nisan. And apparently the Masorah was that in that particular year, 33 days early, was the 7th of Adar. Uminayin, Shebeshiva ba'Adar Nolad. So we'll say that tells us that Moshe Rabbeinu died on the 7th of Adar. How do we know that Moshe Rabbeinu was born on the 7th of Adar? So the Gemara says, Uminayin, Shebeshiva ba'Adar Nolad Moshe, Shene'emar, because the Pasuk says, Vayomer, Aleihem. Moshe Rabbeinu says to Klal Yisrael, Ben Mea Ve'Esrim Shana Anochi Ayom, I am 120 years old today. Lo Uchal Old Latseis Ve'Lavo, I can no longer go in and go out. So the Gemara says, She'in Tam with Lomer Hayom, that will say, now the Shaila is, why does it have to say, Ben Mea Ve'Esrim Shana Anochi Hayom? Today I'm 120 years. Why don't you just say, Ben Mea Ve'Esrim Shana, Anochi, I'm 120 years. Why do you have to say Hayom? Matam Lomer Hayom. Melamed Shakodesh Baruch Hu Yosef Umemalesh Noseim Shal Tzadikim Miyom Liyom Umichodesh Lechodesh. Bozai teaches us that HaKadosh Baruch Hu fills out the years of Tzadikim to the exact day and to the exact month. Bozai, what Moshe Rabbeinu was saying was, Ben Mea Ve'Esrim Shana Anochi Hayom means today is my 120th birthday. That, and remember again, when Moshe Rabbeinu was saying this in Parshas Vayelech, this was the last day of Moshe Rabbeinu. It's very interesting. You know that the Parshas of Vayelech, Ha'azinu, and Vizos HaBracha all occur on one day. It's amazing. Very busy day. All occur on the last day of Moshe Rabbeinu's life. So Moshe Rabbeinu says, Ben Mea Ve'Esrim Shana Anochi Hayom, that means today was his birthday. Today was the 120th birthday. And the Pasuk says, how do we know that HaKadosh Baruch Hu goes ahead and fills out the days of Tzadikim to the day, to the month? In other words, that Tzadikim often die on the same day in which they were born. Shana Emar, Es Mispar Yomecha Amalei. Literally, the number of days of your life I will complete, which ultimately Rabbi Yosef references the idea that Lamaisa Tzaddik often dies in the very day that he was born. So the Maharal in Chidush HaGodva says, you know, what's the symbolism here of dying on your birthday? So the Maharal says the symbolism is Shlemos. Shlemos. The idea is that some people have a life that's a perfect circle. It's a perfect circuit. It's a perfect unit. When you come into this world on one day and you die, you leave this world on the same day. It represents the idea that you lived your life to its fullest. You accomplished what you were supposed to accomplish, and you leave this world again in a complete fashion. So the Gemara goes like that. Tanya, Reb Shimon Yochai, Om Reb Shimon Yochai says. So we'll say, fine. So that's the end. That's the end of that process. But we'll say, it's actually interesting because we're all familiar with this idea that Moshe Rabbeinu is born and dies on 7th of Adar. But it is interesting that the Gemara actually has an explicit drasha. The explicit drasha, of course, gives us the yahrzeit, gives us the date of death. The Mea Esrim Shana Anochi Hayom indicates to us that Lamaisa, again, it was his birthday as well. Says the Gemara, Tanya, Shema Yochai says, Shalosh mitzvos nistavi Yisrael b'chnisas l'yartz. There are three mitzvos that God commanded us when we entered into the land of Israel. And I will say, Rashi says, what are the three mitzvos? Chadash arlan kilayim. Chadash, which we've been speaking about, the prohibition to eat the new grain until you offer the Karban Omer. Arla, the obligation to leave the fruit on the tree for the first 3 years. And kilayim, forbidden mixtures, the prohibition to plant certain mixtures within a certain proximity to each other. So these mitzvos were given to us as soon as we entered into Eretz Yisrael. So we'll say it makes sense. Rashi says, Bechnisas and Aretz, Shahari Bamidbar, Lo Zaru, Velo Katsu, Velo Natu. So it makes sense. Why? Because in the desert, we weren't planting anything. So because we weren't planting anything, therefore, Lamaisa, these agricultural mitzvos are given to us as soon as we enter the land. So the Gemara says, V'noagos bein ba'aretz bein b'chutz la'aretz. But although entry into the land triggered the obligation for these mitzvos, in fact, apply both in Eretz Yisrael as well as outside of Eretz Yisrael. V'hu adin she'inagu. And the truth is, you could even prove through a Kal v'chomer that in fact they should apply. How so? Umachadash she'in isuro Israel. So let's analyze this. Take chadash. So the prohibition of chadash is not an it's a prohibition, but in isuro Israelam, its prohibition is not eternal. I will say now, what does that mean? Because what happens with chadash? What happens with the grain that took root since last Pesach? As soon as the second day Pesach this year comes, even if you don't have a carbon or omer, what's the halacha? The grain itself becomes permitted. So if chadash, which does not have an ongoing iser, ve'ein isuro iser hana'ah, furthermore, again, there's no prohibition to get hana'ah from chadash, v'yesh heter the isuro, and that which is prohibited ultimately becomes permitted, and yet, no'eg bein ba'aretz bein b'chutz la'aretz, it applies both in Eretz Yisrael as well as in chutz la'aretz, kilayim. Now, when it comes to kilayim, we'll say forbidden mixtures. Then, number one, shisur and isur olam. But so, when you produce kilayim, you produce forbidden mixtures. Those forbidden mixtures are usur forever. The isura and isur hano. And not only that, but again, you cannot get benefits from it. The ain heter the isura, and there is no way for it to become permitted. And it goes without saying, that's what? That it should, if it applies in Eretz Yisrael, it should apply in Chutz La'aretz as well. And the truth is, this same logic applies to Arla on two counts. And we'll say, what are the two counts? That Lamaisa, again, so Arla has an Isser Hana. You can't get benefit from Arla from the fruit during the first 3 years. And furthermore, again, there, during those 3 years, there is no heter. There's no way to make it permitted. The only difference is that Arla is not an Isser Olam. Arla is not an eternal prohibition, because remember, after 3 years, it becomes permitted. So what I say, the Gemara is meaning a Kavachomer. If Chadash, which number one, it's Isser, is not eternal. Number two, there's not an Isser Hana. And number three, it's not Asr forever. If that applies in Chutz La'aretz and in Eretz Yisrael, then certainly these other prohibitions, which are more Chomer than Chadash, should apply in Chutz La'aretz as well as Eretz Yisrael. To which the Gemara says, Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Shimon Omer, Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Shimon says, Kol mitzvah, shenetztavu Yisrael, kodim knisasa la'aretz. So comes along, Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Shimon, and says, so we'll say, understand, this whole subject is still trying to find our footing a little bit, to try to figure out at the end of the day which mitzvos apply in Eretz Yisrael and which mitzvos apply in Chutz La'aretz. The reason why this is somewhat difficult and ambiguous is because, as we started this year today by discussing, certain mitzvos make reference to Eretz Yisrael, and the shaila is, what's the nature of the reference? Is the reference the idea that entry into the land of Israel triggers the obligation for the mitzvah, but once the obligation is triggered, the obligation is everywhere, Eretz Yisrael or Chutz La'aretz, or is the mention of Eretz Yisrael to dafka root the mitzvah in Eretz Yisrael and nowhere else? That's just, you understand, that's the tension that's unfolding over here. So for example, now Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Shimon comes along and says, Kol mitzvah shenetztav Yisrael kodem knisas on aretz, any mitzvah that we were commanded to perform before entering the land, so nohages bein ba'aretz bein b'chutz la'aretz applies in Eretz Yisrael as well as in Chutz La'aretz. However, as Rashi says over here, kol mitzvah shenetztavu Yisrael lahanhiga kodim sheyichnus sheikansu la'aretz da'inu chovas haguf nohages bein ba'aretz bein b'chutz la'aretz. So another way to say this is, any mitzvah that was commanded to us before entering the land essentially is what we call the chovas haguf, is a mitzvah upon my person. So that mitzvah applies in Eretz Yisrael and Chutz La'aretz. On the other hand, the achar knisas on la'aretz, any mitzvah that was only commanded after entering the land, eino noheges ela ba'aretz, only applies in Eretz Yisrael. Chutz mehashmatas ksafim v'shiluach avadim, with the exception ultimately of shmitas ksafim, we'll say the idea that Shemitah wipes out loans and shiluach avadim and sending away slaves. So we'll say she'apapi shenetztavu aleim la'acher knisas on la'aretz, even though we were only commanded about that after entering the land, no heges bein ba'aretz bein b'chutz la'aretz. That applies in Eretz Yisrael or outside of Eretz Yisrael. So we'll say Shem Shemin Alot seems to not seem, but is espousing an interesting principle. Any mitzvah which we were commanded before entering the land of Israel applies in Eretz Yisrael and in Chutz La'aretz. Any mitzvah that we were only commanded post-entry into Eretz Yisrael only applies in Eretz Yisrael, not outside of Eretz Yisrael, with one notable exception, Shemitas Ksafim, the idea that Shemitah wipes out debts, and Shiluach Havadim, and the idea that in the Shemitah year, Eved Ivri goes free, that those apply in Eretz Yisrael and outside of Eretz Yisrael as well. To which the Gemara says, Hashmatas Ksafim Chobas HaGufi. The Gemara says, it's obvious that Hashmatas Ksafim, that Shemitah wipes out a debt, that concept applies in Chutz La'aretz. So I will say, why would it apply in Chutz La'aretz? Why is it obvious that it applies in Chutz La'aretz? Because it was called the Chovas HaGuf. What's a Chovas HaGuf? It's a mitzvah upon me. Meaning, I will say, understand what we've established. The only time, let me say it differently. Everyone seems to be agreeing that mitzvahs that apply to me as an individual, as we put it yesterday, that are not soil-centric. Any non-soil-centric mitzvahs, everyone seems to agree applies to me. So tefillin applies to me in Chutz La'aretz. Sittis applies in Chutz La'aretz. Shabbos applies in Chutz La'aretz. So asks the Gemara, I don't understand why you need to mention that Ashmatas Ksafim, that the wiping out of debts on the Shemitah year is something that applies even in Chutz La'aretz. That should be obvious. Of course it applies in Chutz La'aretz. Why? Because Lamaise, at the end of the day, it's what's called the Chovas Aguf. It's a mitzvah upon me. It's not soil-centric. So if it's not soil-centric, again, of course it applies in Chutz La'aretz. To which the Gemara says, oh, I'll tell you. So the Gemara says, Lo nitzricha ela l'chidisanya. It's necessary to state that Shemitah's Ksafin, that wiping out of debts on the Shemitah year, applies in Chutz La'aretz for the following reason. Listen to this. This Sanya, Rebbe Omer, Vezeh devar ha-Shemitah Shamot. The Pasuk says, this is the matter of Shemitah, Shamot. Shemot, we'll say, literally means that it'll wipe out. It'll wipe out. Now, what does it wipe out? So the Gemara says, B'shtei Shemitos HaKosov Medaber. The Torah is actually speaking about two different Shemitos in this Pasuk. Acha Shemitas Karka, V'acha Shemitas Ksafim. One is talking about a land Shemitah, where you're not allowed to work the land, and the other is talking about a Shemitah of money that wipes out debt. Bizman Sha'ata Meshamit Karka, Atam Shamit Ksafim. We'll say, now why does the Pasuk mention both of these Shemitos within the same Pasuk? Oh, for a very simple reason to link them. When Shemitah applies to the land, so Shemitah applies to debt. Bizman Shia Atam Shamit Karko Iatam Shamit Ksafim. On the other hand, when Shemitah does not apply to land, it also does not apply to money. So we'll say, see that the Torah links these two processes. So I would have thought what? The Ima Bimakum Sha'ata Meshamit Karka. So we'll say, based on this linkage, I would have said what? The same way that Shemitah's Ksafim only applies if what? If Shemitah's Karka is in effect. But if Shemitah's Karka doesn't apply, there's no Shemitah's Ksafim. I would have taken that linkage one step further, which is to tell me what? That only where Shemitah's Karka applies, does Shemitah's Ksafim apply. But wherever Shemitah's Karka does not apply, Shemitah's Ksafim doesn't apply either. Therefore, I would have assumed that what? Where does Shemitah's Ksafim apply? Only in Eretz Yisrael. Because it's only in Eretz Yisrael that Shemitah's Karka applies. Therefore, again, Talmud Lomar, Ki Kara Shemitah LaHashem Mikol Makom. Therefore, the Pasuk says, you shall call it a Shemitah to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Mikol Makom, in any place in which you find yourself. So we see that although the Torah goes ahead and links Shemitah's Ksafim to Shemitah's Karka, that's only from a obligation perspective. But from a geographic perspective, the halacha is that Shemitah's Ksafim will apply everywhere, even though Shemitah's Karka only applies in Eretz Yisrael. So the Gemara goes weiter. Shiluach Avodah. Remember, so the other thing the Mishnah said, the Gemara said, Rabbi Shimon Alazar said, so remember again, this is all in Rabbi Shimon Alazar's paradigm. Rabbi Shimon Alazar's paradigm, he's going to say, any mitzvah that we were commanded to do prior to entering into the land of Israel applies both in Eretz Yisrael and in Chutz La'aretz. Any mitzvah that we were only commanded upon entering into Eretz Yisrael only applies in Eretz Yisrael, not in Chutz La'aretz, with two notable exceptions. What are two notable exceptions? Number one, Shemitah's Ksafim, which applies, again, the idea that Shemitah wipes out loans applies in Eretz Yisrael and in Chutz La'aretz, and Shiluach Avadim. The idea that comes to Shemitah, you have to release your Eved Ivri, that applies in Eretz Yisrael and in Chutz La'aretz as well. So says the Gemara again, Shiluach Avadim, Chovas HaGufi. Why would you assume that the obligation to send away your Jewish servants in the Shemitah year wouldn't apply in Chutz La'aretz? Of course it applies. It's a Chovas HaGufi. Again, it's not soil-centric. So because it's not soil-centric, it should apply in Chutz La'aretz as well. Saka Dait Chamino, I would have thought, because the Pasuk says, Ho Luxiv Ukirasem Durar Ba'aretz, the Pasuk says, you shall proclaim freedom throughout the land, Ba'aretzin, B'chutz La'aretz lo. I would have thought that what? That this obligation only applies in Eretz Yisrael, but not in Chutz La'aretz. Talmud Lomar, Yovel Hi Mikol Makom. Therefore, the Pasuk says, Yovel Hi, that the obligation, Yovel Hi, it is a Yovel, it is a Jubilee year everywhere. In other words, freedom everywhere. Even out in Chutz La'aretz. Im Kein, Matam Lo Ba'aretz. If that's the case, then why does the Pasuk say, Ukrasim Dror Ba'aretz? And you could have just said, Ukrasim Dror. You will proclaim freedom. And I would have said that applies in Eretz Yisrael. Chutz La'aretz. Why does it say Ukrasim Dror Ba'aretz, that you will proclaim freedom in the land, if the obligation to free Hebrew slaves does not just apply in Eretz Yisrael, but applies in Chutz La'aretz as well? Oh, to teach you a very important limud, Bizman Shehadurar Noheg Ba'aretz, Noheg B'chutz La'aretz. Both said to teach you that what? That where the obligation to free slaves applies in Eretz Yisrael, then it also applies in Chutz La'aretz. Ein Durar Noheg Ba'aretz, but again, if the obligation to free slaves, to proclaim freedom, does not apply in Eretz Yisrael, then eino noeg b'chutz la'aretz. Then lemaisa what? It does not apply in chutz la'aretz either. So the Gemara is suggesting an incredible limud. So lemaisa, again, the obligation to free your slave, shiluach avadim, will apply in chutz la'aretz as well. But, however, again, Eretz Yisrael sets the tone. If the obligation applies in Eretz Yisrael, then it applies in Chutz La'aretz. If it does not apply in Eretz Yisrael, then what? Then it does not apply in Chutz La'aretz. Fine. Tanan Hasam. So let's see, we have a Mishnah that states the following. HaChadosh Asr Min HaTorah B'chol Makom. So this Mishnah says the following. Chadosh applies everywhere in Midaraisa. Right? So Chutz La'aretz, Eretz Yisrael, Chadosh is applicable in Midaraisa. Arla Halacha. Arla is a halacha, and I will say, we'll see what that means, what halacha means. V'hakilayim midivrei sofrim. But forbidden mixtures are only applicable in chutz, are only usher in chutz la'aretz. Midivrei sofrim, and midivrei sofrim means what? Midivrei sofrim means midrabanan. So first of all, look at Rashi just a moment. Rashi says, asr min ha'Torah b'chol makom. So remember again, the Braisa said over here that chadash is asr everywhere min ha'Torah. Pasavar moshav. This goes back to yesterday's daf. This is reflecting the opinion that says that when the pasuk uses the word moshav, your dwellings, by chadash, that your dwellings means what? Doesn't mean Eretz Yisrael, but rather your dwellings means anywhere which you live, anywhere in which you dwell. Lemaisa, again, there is an obligation to go ahead and to observe the laws of chadash. So says the Gemara, my halacha, and what's now what? Our attention is immediately drawn to is Arla. So remember again, the Braisa said over here that Arla is a halacha. So says the Gemara, what does it mean that Arla is a halacha? My halacha, Amar Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel, Hilchas Samidina. So Rav Yehuda said the name of Shmuel, Rabbi said, look at Rashi, Hilchas Samidina, Hinhigu Heim Aleim B'chutz La'aretz. This is the custom of Chutz La'aretz. Custom of Chutz La'aretz, again, this is the way we conducted ourselves. So both say, now, Hilchas Medina sounds even less than a din derabanan. It sounds like this is just what's observed in Chutz La'aretz. This was a voluntary observance in Chutz La'aretz. Okay. Ula Amar Rabbi Yochanan, halacha l'moshe misinai. So Ula says the name of Rabbi Yochanan, no. Hilchas means what? That there's a halacha l'moshe misinai that Arla applies in Chutz La'aretz. Well, this is amazing. So one opinion says, that's just something we kind of observe in Chutz La'aretz, but it's not obligatory, even midirabanan. On the other hand, Ula say, Rabbi Yochanan, no, it's halacha l'moshe misinai. So I'm really Ula Rabbi Yehuda, Ula says Rabbi Yehuda, remember again, Ula, who says that Arla is a halacha l'moshe misinai, says to Rabbi Yehuda, who says that Arla and Chutz La'aretz are just simply a communal practice, Bishlam al-Didi, Da'amina halacha l'moshe misinai. So it makes sense according to me, who says that Arla and Chutz La'aretz is a halacha l'moshe misinai. Listen to this. Hainu dishanilon bein safek arla the safek kilayim. Because I'm saying now it makes sense why there's a difference between the way that halacha treats safek arla, a case of doubtful arla, and a case of safek kilayim. I'm also listening to this. This nan safek arla ba'aretz. Also, let's say you have a safek regarding arla in chutz la'aretz. So we'll say, now what does it mean a safek arla? Look at Rashi. Hainu dishanilon. Rashi says chamor safek arla misafek kilayim. Safek arla. Safek avru alah shalosh shanim. Inami pardi shiish bor natios arlo shar natios. Velakat ovdei kochav min aperos. Ve'in yadua mehechas. So listen to this. Let's say you have an orchard in Eretz Yisrael, and you're not sure about the fruit of the tree. Is it 2 years old, or is it 3 years old, or is it 4 years old? So we'll say, and now what happens? A Gentile goes and collects the fruit from the orchard. So what's talacha? In Eretz Yisrael, you can't eat it. You can't eat it because safek arla is going to be asr. This is not safek arla ba'aretz, asr. So any doubt regarding arla, again, will rule the chumra in Eretz Yisrael. Besurya mutter. Now we'll say, now surya, look at Rashi. Surya means he aram sova. This is aram sova. Shekavash David v'sanfa, so sanfa im Eretz Yisrael. V'kasavar kibush yachel lo shmei kibush. Hilchach sveiko mutter. So we'll say this is actually very interesting. So the Gemara says over here, Surya refers to lands annexed by David HaMelech. Now we'll say there's a whole discussion over here. David HaMelech annexed Surya without consulting the Sanhedrin. So we'll say this is what's called Kibush Yachid. That was considered to be David HaMelech's war, and therefore his personal annexation to Eretz Yisrael. So there's an ongoing shaila as to whether or not Surya has Kedushas Eretz Yisrael or not. This opinion seems to reflect the idea that Surya does not possess Kedushas Eretz Yisrael, does not possess the holiness of Eretz Yisrael. Therefore what? If you have Safek, Arla, and Surya, the Safek is Mutter. Okay, so just follow this. So Safek, Arla, and Eretz Yisrael is going to be Aser. Safek Arla in Surya is going to be Mutter. But listen to this. B'chutzlars, we'll say now chutzlars. Now what's chutzlars? Chutzlars is outside of Eretz Yisrael. Now remember, Surya, as much as it may not possess full Kedushas Eretz Yisrael, still has quasi Kedushas Eretz Yisrael because it's annexed Eretz Yisrael. But let's say now you go Mamish Chutzlars. Mamish Chutzlars means outside of Surya. You go to somewhere else. So what's that look? Huh? Yoreid v'lokeach. So we'll say, listen to this. You could instruct a Gentile to go ahead and Rashi says Yoreid Yisrael v'lokech mina ovei kochavim halokit mipardi sheish mor natiyos yulados uzekenos Yisrael there shu nichna shav lokei lechatchila. So we'll say, listen to this. So I can go ahead and purchase produce from a Gentile who I know picked the fruit from an orchard which has a safek arla. So I can go ahead and purchase this fruit Yoreid v'lokeach. Obilvad shelo yirenu locate. So I'll say, listen to this. So Safek Arlan Chutz La'aretz, what? I can go ahead and purchase from a Gentile who I know picked this fruit from an orchard, which is Safek Arla, as long as what? As long as what? As long as I didn't see him do it. So as long as I didn't see him pick the fruit, again, I could purchase it from him, even though what? Even though I knew exactly where he purchased it from. So again, so this is the Safek Arla case. So Safek Arla in Eretz Yisrael is going to be Aser. In Surya is going to be Mutter. In Chutz La'aretz, I could even go ahead, even if I know that the Gentile picked the fruit from an orchard that is the Safek Arla orchard, I can still buy that fruit from him as long as what? As long as I didn't see him pick it, as long as I did not see him pick it. Rashi says, "Lebavachlo yirenu Yisrael kishuloki mina arla v'had disanya le'el besuria mutar kishenilkat piat kvar aval chatchila ol eino omer lo leich reid v'lakis." We'll say what's the distinction that Rashi points out. In Surya, I can purchase the produce after it's already been picked, but I cannot instruct the Gentile to pick the produce from this orchard that is Safek. In Chutz La'aretz, I could even instruct him to pick the produce from the orchard that's Safek Arla. I just can't see him pick it. So that's the halacha by Arla. V'ilu gabi kilayim. When it comes to kilayim, tonight we learned, kerem hanatua yerek v'yerek nimkar chutzalo. So we'll say, if you have a vineyard in which vegetables were planted. So we'll say, this is kilay akerem. This is a forbidden mixture. So what's the halacha? And now somebody's selling the produce. If they're selling the produce, ba'aretz neretz Yisrael aser, then it's aser. B'Surya, in Surya, mutter, it's mutter to purchase this produce. B'chutza la'aretz, yoreit velokate. And we'll say, listen to this. In chutz la'aretz, literally again, yoreit velokate, you could go down and pick the produce. Obilvad shelo yilkot biyad. Look at Rashi. Obilvad shelo yilkot hachaver atzal biyad. So we'll say, listen to this. In chutz la'aretz, you could even go ahead and what? You could even go ahead and go into the field with the nachri, with the Gentile, as he is picking the produce, as long as what? As you don't pick it yourself. So we'll say, you hear this distinction? So when it comes to Arla and chutz la'aretz, really it's the chutz la'aretz distinction. In Arla and chutz la'aretz, so I can purchase from a Gentile who picked the produce, as long as what? As long as I don't see it. So as long as I don't see it, I can purchase the produce. When it comes to kilayim, however, what's the halacha? I could even go with him in the field and literally what? See him picking the produce, as long as what? I don't pick it myself. So watch this. So says Ula, according to me, the distinction between Arla and kilayim makes sense. Why? Because Arla and Chutz La'aretz says, because Arla and Chutz La'aretz is Halacha l'Moshe miSinai, where Arla is a halacha, whereas Kilayim ultimately again is just midirei sofrim. But according to you, Rav Yehuda, you hold that Arla and Chutz La'aretz is midirei sofrim as well as a halacha, which is midirabanan. So why should there be a distinction between Arla and Kilayim according to you? Arla l'didach, but according to you, top of Lamates, Nisni, it should say Ozev is a yori v'lokeach. Ozev is a yoriv locate. So Ula says to Rav Yehuda, According to you, there should be no distinction between the halachas of Arlan Chutz La'aretz or Kilayim Chutz La'aretz, to which the Gemara says, Ha'amar Le Shmuel Ravanan, Tani Ozev Ze Yor Velokeach, Ozev Ze Yor Velokeach. So we'll say, indeed, again, Shmuel said to Ravanan, you're right. According to Rav Yehuda, you would have to change the version of the Mishnah. According to Rav Yehuda, Ein Achinami, there is no distinction between Kilayim Chutz La'aretz or Arlon Chutz La'aretz, and the way you have to read the Braisa ultimately is the Yisrael could go down and purchase directly from the Nachri, or the Yisrael could go and watch the Nachri pick directly, and he could even have knowledge that these items are coming from the same field. In other words, that Rabosai, according to Rav Yehuda, in the name of Shmuel, Arlos Chutz La'aretz and Kilay Akemer Chutz La'aretz will indeed have the same halacha. It's only according to Ula, where Lemaisa, again, there's a distinction between Arla and Kilayim. Arla and Chutz La'aretz ultimately being a halacha l'Moshe Misinai versus Kilayim and Chutz La'aretz, which is a din d'Rabbanan. All right, so we'll stop over here. Mir Tashem, we'll pick up with this discussion tomorrow.